Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 52, verses 1 through 11, the limit of God's patience for Zedekiah. Scripture teaches that the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. It says that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. However, there's a limit to God's patience. And that should motivate even us as Christians to repent sooner than later. That's the lesson of Jeremiah 52, 1-11, on the end of God's patience for Judah's king Zedekiah. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 52, 1-11. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his patience, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. It came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the 4th month, in the 9th day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people in the land. Then the city wall was breached, and all the men of war fled, and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, were by the city round about, and they went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon to Riblah and the land of Hamath, way north, where he passed judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in the prison until the day of his death. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 52, 1 and 2, summarily clarifies that Judah's last king Zedekiah did that which was evil in God's view, just like his father King Jehoiakim had done. The next verse, Jeremiah 52, 3, claims it was due to the Lord's anger that Jerusalem fell to Babylon, as described in Jeremiah 52, verses 4 to 11. But the background of previous chapters in the book of Jeremiah reveals that God had repeatedly sought to get Zedekiah to obey him, that Zedekiah might enjoy God's blessing. It's interesting, God told the people of Israel when he was giving the law and the Ten Commandments, I'm a very compassionate God, I'm long-suffering, but eventually the hammer will fall. And that's what happened in Zedekiah's case. You'll recall back in Jeremiah chapter 21, 1-14, that God, through Jeremiah, had told Zedekiah and Jerusalem's people to surrender to the Babylonians when they arrived to besiege Jerusalem, that they might live in relative blessing, but that refusing to surrender would lead to their being forcibly captured and the city burned with fire. In fact, in the passage, the Lord had indicated through Jeremiah, if you submit, if you go out and submit, it'll go well for you, and the Babylonians will not destroy the city. But if you don't, and they have to come in here after you, they'll take you and they'll handle you roughly, and they'll burn the city down with fire. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 34, 1-7, Jeremiah had also told Zedekiah that he himself would not escape captivity when the Babylonians came up against Jerusalem. However, when the Babylonians had temporarily withdrawn to fight an advancing Egyptian army, the people lost their respect for and ceased obeying the Lord relative to not releasing their slaves from slavery in accordance with the law. So Jeremiah had predicted that they would be handed over to the Babylonian foes in the end. He did that in Jeremiah 34, 8-22. You remember what the king did. He made an oath and made the people agree to the oath that they were supposed to give up their Hebrew slaves. They were supposed to give up their Hebrew slaves every seventh year. And they hadn't kept that for a long, long time. So they decided, well, we better obey the Lord and release our slaves. But when the Babylonians withdrew and started to have to fight the Egyptians, then they took their slaves back, which was a violation of their oath under the Lord. Well, you don't make an oath to the Lord and the Lord not hold you to it. So the Lord promised that they would be destroyed. Then in Jeremiah 38, 1-28, Jeremiah had once again, in private, urged Zedekiah to surrender to the Babylonians, that he might enjoy some blessing versus refusing to do so and suffering forced captivity in the burning down of Jerusalem. You recall, this is an interesting situation. This is after Jeremiah had been in the dungeon and they pulled him out. And Zedekiah privately says, is there a word from the Lord? And Jeremiah says, yes, there is. Surrender. It's the same message that he'd been preaching along. Surrender, and it'll go well for you. If you don't surrender, it'll be a problem. And Zedekiah had replied that he was afraid that the Jews who were already in Babylonian captivity would mistreat him if he surrendered once he got to Babylon. But Jeremiah promised that no harm would come to him if he surrendered. God would protect him. Well, after wavering between the choice to surrender versus trying to flee from the Babylonians, that's where we come to the chapter that we're here. Jeremiah 52, verses 4-11, describes how Zedekiah had decided to disobey the word of the Lord through Jeremiah and not surrender, but flee from the invading Babylonians, and the result was Zedekiah's very bad fate. When Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem, and there was no more food for the people in the city, the Babylonians broke through Jerusalem's city wall. The Babylonians, this is one reason why they would besiege a city. They would besiege it until the city was weakened, because they didn't want to have to fight people who were well-armed and who were full of energy because they had a lot of food inside of them. They waited until the people were hungry, and then they were weakened, and then it was easier to take the city. And that's why they broke in at this particular time. However, Zedekiah and his men of war decided to flee by night through a gate by the king's garden, going towards the lowlands of Jericho. They were evidently trying to flee over to the Ammonites for asylum, as the Ammonites were also then in rebellion against the Babylonian king. Now, the Babylonians would later attack the Ammonites and defeat them, but at this particular point, the king was coming down on the western side of the sea of the Jordan River. He had, in his mind, Israel was more of a headache, and Judah was more of a headache to him than the Ammonites were. So that's why he was going after Judah first. So this is why Zedekiah thought, if I flee east, maybe I can get over to the Ammonites and I'll get some protection there when I get into the capital city of the Ammonites. However, the Babylonians captured Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. He couldn't go fast enough. And his army was scattered from him as they fled for their lives. The Babylonian army then took Zedekiah up north in the land of Hamath, where Nebuchadnezzar had his field headquarters. See, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't actually down at Jerusalem attacking. He had his field headquarters way up north, up in what is now Syria, and or Aramea. And he said his army was going down ahead of him. It's often the case. Often the kings would not fight on the front lines. But that's where his field headquarters were, and there he passed judgment on Zedekiah. Nebuchadnezzar killed Zedekiah's sons and officials before his eyes. Then he put out his eyes. And the reason they would do this is that the last thing you would remember is what you saw before your eyes were put out. So he would have to live forever with the trauma of the slaughter of his sons and his officials in front of him. And this was meant to intimidate him and to dispirit him. And that permanently blinded him. And he bound him with chains and carried him to Babylon, where he was imprisoned until his death. This is very different from Jeconiah, who had surrendered to the Babylonians before. Jeconiah was actually lifted out of prison and allowed to eat in the king's presence. And he was given a stipend an allowance so he could live. He would have had it would have been much better for Zedekiah if he'd just gone ahead and surrendered. He would have been treated much better. Anyway, accordingly, though God had repeatedly told Zedekiah to obey the word of the Lord through Jeremiah to surrender to Babylon for blessing, he chose to disobey that command in unbelief. And consequently, he suffered the tragic loss of his sons, his officials, his eyesight, and his liberty to live outside of a prison for the rest of his life. The Lord had been long-suffering towards Zedekiah, but even God had an end to his patience with Judah's king.
You know, God is very, very long-suffering. He's very gracious. But the righteousness of God demands that he judge sin, that he punish sin.
So, though God is loving and he's long-suffering, there's an end to his patience. So, we better not, you know, just rely on God's patience. We better, you know, if we're aware of sin, we need to deal with it immediately. So the lesson is, though God had graciously repeatedly tried to get Judah's king Zedekiah to obey his call to surrender to the Babylonians for relative blessing, his failure to trust God's word and to try to escape from Babylon by his own means led to a loss of blessing in every way. He had to learn the hard way that there was an end to the patience of the Lord. So in application, if the Lord directs us to obey him in some realm, and we waver indecisively over heeding him, we're living in danger. For there is an end to God's patience, an end that contains painful discipline. We thus best repent, confess our sin, and turn from it as soon as possible, ASAP, that we escape God's discipline and enjoy his blessing. There's a psalm, I think it was by David, that deals with this. He had sinned, and the Lord really plagued him with giving him a bad conscience and everything hurting his conscience. And so he turns around in the psalm, he says, let me teach you a lesson. Don't be like the horse, that you have to put a bridle in his mouth and direct him, otherwise he won't come near you. He said, if the Lord speaks, you better get right with the Lord immediately. Because if you don't, and the Lord, when he puts a bridle in your mouth, the bridle is not comfortable. And he'll bring you around. So there's a big lesson. It's very important. But we need to respond as soon as we're aware of sin. Deal with it immediately. In a lot of times in our messages and our sermons, we deal with sin, deal with the need to confess sin, get right with the Lord, and so forth. We do that not to try to give people guilt complexes, because that's not the intent. We do it as an admonition, as a warning, because if we postpone dealing with the issue of sin and waywardness in our lives, we are living in danger, and there is a point of no return where the Lord says, that's it. And then, boom, the hammer falls. And then it's too late. So it's best to repent sooner than later.